Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
Starting out in Hebrews chapter 11, we're in a series on the Hall of Faith, God's Hall of Faith, looking at the individuals in Scripture, heroes of the faith, if you will, examples of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start there and then turn back to Genesis chapter 17 and 18. So let me read for us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11 and then verse 12, following right on the heels of Abraham. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Let's pause and pray and ask God's blessing on this time together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the songs that we could sing in regard to our faith in you, the worship we give to you because you are trustworthy. We can believe in you. We can hope in you. We can trust in you and ultimately obey. Lord, thank you that you are the great God of glory. There is none else. We certainly appreciate that you are the supreme, ultimate, the deity, the creator, the redeemer, the sustainer, and the one who has provided us with so great a salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls, rescuing us from hell, delivering us from the condemnation of sin, paying the debt that we could. Thank you, Lord, as well, for the fact that you never leave us, you never forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that there is nothing too hard for you. Even at times, in our human understanding, things seem impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So I pray as a result of the preaching of the scriptures here in the life of Sarah, that you would just help us to have a seriousness about hearing the word of God. And then also an urgency to apply the word of God, put it into our lives so that we would live by faith and not by sight. And Father, I pray if any are here today without a saving knowledge of Christ, spiritually lost and aimless and wondering what is going to happen to them in regard to eternity, having never had their sins forgiven, and hence right now on their way to hell. Oh, would you open their eyes today? Would you convict their hearts? Help them to see they need Jesus as personal Savior. I pray for believers who are maybe struggling with yielding to you by faith, maybe submitting to you by faith. Lord, I would pray that you would just open again the understanding and pray that we would be given a will to do, because it does us no good just to be hearers of the word only and walk away without willing to do it. We don't want to deceive ourselves. And yea, Lord, I pray that we'd willingly submit to the Spirit of God. So help me. Help me to preach your word clearly. Help me to preach the word in an applicable manner, doing justice to the text. And yea, Lord, glorifying your name and helping your people to put into practice your word, to live by faith and not by sight. All to the praise of your glory, we'll thank you and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are in this section on the Hall of Faith that God lists for us numerous individuals from the Old Testament, saints who had issues, circumstances, matters of their lives in which they lived by faith. They manifested a walk with God to the point of living by faith. And what we find is now going from Abraham, who receives quite a bit of the information. Abraham gets a lot of the information, a lot of the attention here. But the scene shifts now to his wife, Sarah. It's appropriate to consider her at this point, for she also had a vital part in God's promises to Abraham, to Israel, to the world, which includes us. And when you think together, they would see the first part of God's covenant fulfilled, which is the birth of Isaac, the promised seed from whom the whole nation would come. However, Sarah is finding herself in a unique position when it comes to giving birth, conceiving. But God is the God of the impossible. And in order to trust the God of the impossible, you have to have faith in the God of the impossible. And that's what we're going to look at today for Sarah. She is, by the way, given a place in the New Testament elsewhere, a reference as a godly model for Christian women everywhere. And so, ladies, the message is primarily targeting you, but nevertheless, there are things, gentlemen, that you can find as well. But I pray that even as we are seeking to be like Abraham from last week, who are moving by faith and living by faith, we would also find Sarahs who are yielding by faith and living by faith. So let's look this morning and consider how turning doubt into faith in God's keeping his promises is what we need to hear and learn and do today. So I'm going to ask you to hold your finger here in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to ask you to turn back now to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis chapter 18, we're going to see where Sarah was not always living by faith. Sarah was not given to faith initially. Matter of fact, she initially doubts God's promises. Initially doubting God's promises. How do we see that? Well, read with me and follow along. Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. Genesis 18, 9 through 12. And we're going to see how Sarah rebuffs what God said he would do. Now, that's quite interesting. Verse number 9. Let me set the stage a little bit before I get here. It's the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, along with two angels, who appear on the scene. And Abraham extends hospitality to them, and he welcomes them. And Sarah remains in the tent while Abraham is entertaining. He has prepared food and everything for them. And this is just before the Sodom and Gomorrah incident. But at this point, a very special message is repeated to Abraham with Sarah listening in the background. Verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, she's in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. Look what is happening. She hears firsthand what God had already promised he was going to do. This is not the first time I believe Sarah ever heard this. However, how old was Abraham and Sarah when they entered into Canaan? Abraham was 75 years old. Sarah, 65 years old. How old are they now? Abraham is 99. And Sarah, if you can do some math there, 89 years old. She's heard this before. It's a little more distinct now. The passages of Scripture that you can see here in Genesis, where the reference to seed, that's referencing not only just to the initial birth of Isaac, but to the expansion through Isaac of many different descendants. But in order for this to be true of many different descendants, you have to start with the one. For 24 plus years, and Sarah has heard this. I don't know how often, but the key to this is that God had already said what he was going to do. He already had promised, he had already indicated, and here now, where it says, and she heard. The Hebrew language here with the participial use carries with it the idea she was listening. She was eavesdropping. As a good wife, trying to be sure that she helps her husband understand, he's older now. So she's there and she's listening behind the scenes. And the Lord gives very detailed information. I can't help but to wonder if the Lord, in all his knowledge, knowing Sarah's listening, he specifically references her knowing she's going to hear it. And look at some of the detail here. Surely I will return. This is pretty emphatic. It's the idea of returning, I will return. This is the guarantee. This is the promise. I will come back. This is not the last time you've seen me. There is something special that I am going to do. He says, according to the time of life. That's the idea of meaning the period of time with conception and then pregnancy and then delivery. You're talking about a 9-month period at least. It's very similar to the language used in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. You remember that? We've used that at Christmas time, Galatians 4. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. Well, that meant all the ripeness of the time of the ages was now complete. God's timetable had wound down to zero. And this is what God is saying here for Sarah and Abraham. God's timetable. You have waited 25 years. Here's the fulfillment of the promise that was already given to you. Here's the promise. Now, when you think about this, he also says, it's not just you're going to have a child. I know that's what the Hebrews passage references. But here specifically, you will have a son. A son emphasizes that after being barren her whole life, she was unable to conceive. 14 years after Ishmael is born, more on him in a moment, you're going to have a son, Sarah. What would the response be? She could have said, wow, this is wonderful. I've waited so long. Thank you, Lord. This is so awesome. I can't wait for this to happen. This is tremendous. I knew that you could do this, Lord, because you're the God of the impossible. Amen. No. Sarah laughs. Now, the laughter here, I don't think it's some cynical mockery, but it's rather some incredulous response. It's almost like, really? Really? How you ever done that? Yeah, I think we've all done that at times. In this situation, we find that it's a doubt. Even though God said this is what's going to happen. By the way, turn back just one chapter in chapter 17, and you're going to look in verse number 17, and you're going to see what happens here when God had specifically references very same thing to him earlier, without Sarah present perhaps. Look all the way down in verse number 17. Because the whole passage is listed here for you, but let me read it for you. In verse number 17, beginning in verse number 7, chapter 17, verse 7. I will establish my covenant with and between me and you, and your seed after you, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto you and to your seed after you. I will give unto you and to your seed after you the land wherein you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. God said unto Abraham, you shall keep my covenant, therefore, you and your seed after you in your generations. This is my covenant which shall keep, you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And then he goes down and he says in verse 13, he that is born in your house is going to be circumcised. Verse 14, and then in verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall no longer call her Sarai, but Sarah. That's going to be your name. I will bless her, and I will give her a son of also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. King of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face, and he said, glory to God. Praise God. I've been waiting for this. This is wonderful. No. Abraham fell on his face, and he laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear? Now look what Abraham says. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. In other words, I already have a son. God said, you may have a son, but it's not according to my plan. I'm giving you a son legitimately through Sarah, your wife. Not through your surrogate wife, Hagar. And she laughed. And Abraham laughed. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever doubted that God would keep his promises? Have you ever had that moment of incredulity? Oh, Lord, how are you going to do this? I don't have a job and I'm looking and waiting for a job. How are you going to do it, Lord Jesus? Health situations come up. You're in the midst of a decision making when it comes to location or occupation. Lord, you know something? This is where doubt needs to turn to faith. You and I, in our own human condition, we are prone to doubt. We are quick to reject, rebuff. Faith is an element where there's trust in God. And for Sarah at this point, she doesn't have that. Not only does she rebuff what God said he would do, but notice secondly, we go to verses 12 through 15 in Genesis 18. She questions how God said he would do. What do you do? Verse number 12. It says, as we continue, she not only laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? This is her question. After I am waxed old. Sarah here is not only menopausal, she's postmenopausal. What does that mean? It's interesting because the word waxed old has the idea of worn out. I think that's quite a fitting description. Ladies, would you ever consider yourself that your physical reproductive baby-making capacities, and I don't mean to be, is just done? There's just nothing more that can happen. It would be me like going to Dawn, let's have another baby. Our youngest one is going to be 30. We need another baby. What would she say? You have it, right? Biologically, not going to happen. Abraham's 100. She's 90. So she's, you know, in all honesty, and you can't fault her too much because, Lord, I'm going to have a baby and I know how things work. And I know that beyond, I'm not working right now. That's where, if God says he's going to do it, something special and miraculous is going to take place because God said this is what's going to happen. How am I going to do? How's this going to be? You know where she says having pleasure? I don't think she's talking about the pleasure of sexual intimacy, nor the pleasure of pregnancy. What she is talking about is the pleasure of bearing a son and bringing a baby into the world after she has been barren. For 90 years, she has not been able to conceive. And now, God says, I'm going to work in a wonderful fashion, and you're going to have a baby boy. I look around the auditorium, and I don't think we have any 90-year-old ladies. But I remember one time, I don't remember how long ago, but there was a time when I was thinking to myself, that would be like my grandmother. My grandmother lived to be 97 years of age. She was a dear lady. And I remember she drove all the way up until she was 90 years old. And I'm thinking to myself, that'd be like my grandma being pregnant. That you just conceive, that doesn't compute, does it? And that's where faith enters in, because the things that God says he's going to do are oftentimes beyond what we as humans can explain. That's what faith is all about. That's who God is. He works in ways that are untypical. He works in ways that are impossible. That's why when we sang the song, nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Well, verse number 14, or actually, verse number 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham. Now, notice here, this is the capitalization Lord, which means this is Yahweh Elohim. I believe this is Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state. And the Lord says to Abraham. Now, catch this. He says to Abraham. He doesn't say it to Sarah. He says, Abraham. Why did Sarah laugh? Now, I don't know if Abraham is in proximity where he could hear, but it did say Sarah laughed in her heart. It was not maybe an expressible, ha, 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 ha. Who heard me? It wasn't that. The Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And look what happens next. Time appointed, I'll return according to the time of life. Is there anything too hard? Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? I'm sorry, let me put it in sequence. Verse 13, the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's a rhetorical question, by the way. And the definite response is, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Do you believe that? I'm asking you in 2026, in your circumstances, no matter what you may find yourself in, do you believe that God is this same God of Abraham and Sarah is your God? And he can do the things that may seem to be impossible. He can seemingly do the things that are unexplainable. Now, it may not mean that your 90-year-old mother, grandmother is going to be having a baby. It may not mean that. But it may mean the things that you're looking at when it comes to an occupation. Or maybe you're in your schooling and you don't know how to really deal with the kids who are bullying. Or perhaps a class that seems so difficult. Or perhaps even in a neighborhood where the neighbors don't seem quite to be friendly. Or perhaps when it comes to a job search and you're looking for a different position. Or when it comes to moving. Or when it comes to retirement. Or when it comes to marriage. When it comes to children. You may think you have an impossible situation with this child. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is an obvious no. And then he repeats, verse 14, at the time appointed, I will return according to life, and Sarah shall have a son. This is the second time Sarah is hearing this now. Second time Abraham, well, more than that. And that should be enough to say, wow, okay, Lord, you said it. That settles it. I believe it. Now look at Sarah's response. When you consider, no, I didn't. Oh, incidentally, this is not the first time that this nothing is impossible for the Lord comes up. Jeremiah 32, during the captivity, Jeremiah is to buy a piece of land to have a deed. No. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's nothing too hard for him. How about Mary? Remember? To give birth to the Messiah? Is there anything too hard? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Look what Mary says. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. What does Sarah do? Sarah laughs. And then when she's confronted, because she, remember, she's listening in the tent. Why did Sarah laugh? Verse 18, I'm sorry, you get back and you look what Sarah's response is in verse number 15. Then Sarah denied and said, I didn't laugh. Now, this is a unique circumstance. She didn't laugh out loud. She laughed in her heart. She denied it, for she was afraid. You see the contrast between fear and faith now? Faith, yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, you're going to do the impossible. He caught me. I did laugh. I don't want to admit it. She's afraid of what? Perhaps consequences? Perhaps this is a real slight, because in this culture, Abraham entertaining these guests, that would be a terrible offense and an insult, if you will. Afraid of perhaps this not happening or for whatever. She's afraid. Well, the interesting thing is, you know something? Before the Lord, you can't ever get away with anything. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, neither is there anything that is not made manifest in his sight, but all things are open and naked unto the him, naked to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, he knows what's going on in your hearts. I find this to be, Sarah, how could you say to the Lord himself? I mean, he's right there, the omniscient, omnipresent, great, glorious God who just promised these things, has all power. And you would say to him, I didn't laugh. But yet, don't we do some of those things to our great God? No, I didn't do that. I didn't mean that. I didn't say that. No, Lord, that wasn't for me. I would encourage us to be transparent with our Lord. When his word, when his confrontation, when his correction comes, yes, Lord, we would be more Mary-like than Sarah-like. Behold your handmaid, be it unto me. And in both situations, these women are going to encounter and endure something so unique that it's going to have a buzz around town. For Sarah, 90 years old, now she's, just remember something else. Sarah's not with her family any longer. She's not with her relatives. She's not with in her own country. She's brand spanking, well, not brand spanking, they've been 25 years now in this country. She obeyed and followed Abraham. Abraham said, we're moving. I don't want to move. Doesn't matter, we're moving. God said, we're moving. Okay. So she submits to him in that regard. And now she's going to submit in this regard. Lord, be it unto me. When there's something that seemingly is impossible that God wants to do in your life, maybe God wants you to share the Lord Jesus Christ's salvation with a lost person that you've been praying for and seeking to minister to, but you just don't know how. Can God help you? Maybe there's someone on your job who just seems to be your thorn in the flesh, and someone who just doesn't understand. Do you think God can help you in this situation to be a minister to them? Maybe you're in a marriage situation and my husband doesn't understand, my wife doesn't understand. Do you know something? Do you really believe that your God can do a great work because he's the God of the impossible and salvage and resolve and work in a situation that seems impossible? Maybe there's a child. Maybe you're praying for a child who just seems to be wayward, just seems to be distant, just seems to be disrespectful. Seems impossible. Lord, can I have faith and trust in the God of the impossible? Yes. Why? Just like the chorus we sang, nothing is impossible. By the way, do you realize how useless it would be to try to defend yourself in front of an all-knowing, omniscient God? Secondly, notice something else. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And here's where we pick it up. The transition in her life. Somewhere, somehow, she went from this doubt to belief. She eventually believes God's promises. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now look at verse 11 again with Sarah. Through faith also Sarah. Now that next pronoun is important. Herself. You know what this is indicating? She accepts what God told her he would do. Not because Abraham told her, and he did. But because God told her, and now she believes. Who had once doubted. Faith, as described in verse 1, is a steadfast confidence in, acceptance of, full dependence upon all that God is and all that God does. Acknowledges his authority over life, acknowledges God as the creator of her body. And she's believing now what God says. Things hoped for. You know what she hoped for? She probably all in her life hoped for a family. You look at Hannah, Samuel's mother, who prayed earnestly for a little son. And Samuel was born. And Samuel was named God Hears. Because God's promises were kept. Because he told her, you will bear a son. Here, things not seen. I'm 90 years old. I'm way menopausal. I mean, it's been years since I've been able to conceive. But now she has the faith. By faith. You see, the reason this change is the surrendering personal thoughts and ambitions, fears, uncertainties, so that what God says is going to be taking place. There's a trust. By the way, do you know how relieving it is to have faith in God? You know how relieving it is just to give up the things you might be holding on to that God is trying to say, let go of? Or the things that you're doubting that God is saying, trust me. Or the things you're fearing or worrying about and God says, no, depend on me. And once you let go and once you give up and once you're giving in, it's like, this is the place I need to be. That's why faith is a trust, an acceptance, and a belief. Could be that the Lord's rebuke caused her to think more seriously about God's word. Or maybe Abram's belief influenced her, believed. I'm not sure exactly, but whatever it was, she came to the point herself. It was not borrowed faith, by the way, there are a lot of times, especially in second generation Christianity. Young people can live on borrowed faith. You know what I mean by that? They live based on what their parents tell them as opposed to what they really truly believe. And then when it comes to the point of being tested, because it's not been personalized, Now it becomes marginalized and may even become rationalized and later just compromised. We sang the song, "I am resolved no longer to linger." And as I was singing and looking at the words, verse number 2, "I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is," Verse number 3, "I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith. Do what He willeth. He is the living way." Sarah came to the point in her life where she embraced and personalized everything that God promised for her. Can I ask a question? Have you taken the promises of God for your life, the person of God in your life, and is He real to you? This morning I woke up, I don't know what time it was, maybe 3, and I start praying. And I stopped and I said, "Lord, I don't want to just pray the same things. I don't want prayer to be some grocery list that I unload on You." And mind you, this is not always. Because prayer should be just communion with God. Because He's a real person. And I can't help but to wonder sometimes, listen, catch this, I can't help but to wonder if sometimes our faith is either weak or absent because our understanding, communion, and knowledge of and fellowship with God is equally weak or absent. He's there for you. He's there for Sarah, and somewhere along the line, it just, I believe. Have you changed doubt to belief? Moved from faith? So she accepts what God told her He would do, but then second of all, notice something else. She trusts when God would exercise His power. The continuation of verse number 11, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed." Now the word "received" carries with it the idea of what God had given her and what God did in her so that the result was becoming pregnant, even though it was physically impossible because she was way past age. And the word "strength" is worthy of consideration because the word "strength," dunamis, has the idea of ability. So God gave her an ability that she didn't have, or that she did have but was inoperable. God worked in her to do something that only He could do because there was no IVF at that time, in vitro fertilization. There was no other technology. She believed that God was going to do what He said He was going to do when He was going to do it. He's going to reverse this postmenopausal condition. It's on the screen for you, but in chapter 21, all the way down to the bottom. "And the Lord visited Sarah as He said." Boy, what a blessing that is. I wonder, because remember, for 25 years, we're going to be this great nation. Well, Abraham, where's this great nation? There's going to be descendants. Abraham, there's no descendants. Come on, honey. I don't know if that was what the conversation was like. "Then the Lord visited Sarah as He said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken." God kept His word. It's interesting. Jesus is known as the way, the truth, and the life. When you go all the way back to Genesis, when God breathed into man, He became a living soul. Do you know who was responsible for that? Jesus Christ. And so Sarah is going to have a baby boy just like God said. Now, this is not miraculous in the sense that there's no father involved. So Abraham and her together. And next, you know, I don't know how she could tell. I don't mean to get biological on you, but she can't come to Abraham and say, Abraham, I missed my period. I guess I'm pregnant. She's not even having any. In any event, she's discerning. And ladies, you know, right? If you've ever born children, it's like, I think I'm pregnant. Morning sickness can be there. Other things happen, changes in your body. I'll never forget, there was somebody at the door, and I was looking. I said, I pulled her aside. Are you pregnant? How did you know? I said, something just seems, yeah. I remember my wife, when Dawn was going to give, when we were starting a family, and I came home, there was a note on the door, welcome home, Daddy. And I'm like, I wondered. There's just something. And Sarah herself, when that occurred, I don't believe she laughed. God, what a great God. But you know something else? Not only the faith to believe that she conceived was necessary, but the faith to carry this baby. 9 months of pregnancy. And then to deliver a baby at age 90 years of age. So she had to maintain a consistent faith in that what God said he would do would be done throughout the entire process. I doubt if there was ever a time when she said, Abraham, I really wish I wouldn't be pregnant. This is getting so, oh, Abraham, why? Nope. The other thing I want to point out is that in this particular circumstance and situation, where it says, look again in verse number 11, she received strength to conceive seed, delivered of a child when she was past age. You know, her faith here continued from beginning conception through end delivery. Which leads to the last point, and that is she knows God will fulfill his word. Oh, I pray that you and I will continue to trust God even after the initial promise is fulfilled, because what God says he will do, we have to believe he will do it, and he will keep doing it. You see what I mean? The last phrase, because what? She judged him faithful who had promised. Now the word judged carries with it the idea of evaluate and have full consideration and confidence in what God would say. She judged him faithful. There we have that word faith once again. True to his word, no doubt about it. Faithful who promised. It's interesting, the aorist tense of the verb carries with it the idea of completed action. The one who announced the surety of this marvelous, miraculous event. This supersedes her doubt, and even it exceeded her previous attempt to help God out. You know what she tried to do earlier? Well, there was a surrogate that was introduced into this picture 14 years earlier. Her name was Hagar. And Sarah says, take my maid and bear up a son for me. That was a legitimate means by which you could be having a surrogate and claim the son for yourself. And hence Ishmael was born. She said to Abraham, behold, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. That's 14 years earlier. Why don't you go in unto my maid that I may obtain children by her? You know, folks, sometimes we have to believe that what God is saying he's going to do is exactly what he's going to do, when he is going to do it, and how he is going to do it, and take our hands off and not try to help him out. How many times have you tried to help God because you get impatient? Or maybe you want to kind of take a shortcut because what God wants to do may not be what you find comfortable or convenient. I told the illustration before where I wanted to help out. My mother was having open heart surgery. She had to complete it. And there was a nurse who came in and she wanted to kind of help my mother with the tubes and everything else. And she had this bag and she couldn't take it and get it open. And so I reached out to help. She said, No. I said, I'm just trying to help. I'm thinking in my mind, my brother says, Dan, sit down. He says, you can't. It's sterile. Good intentions may not be exactly the way you approach the will of God to do what you like to help God out. I need this job. Wait. I don't like to wait. Yeah, join the crowd. But how do I know what he's going to do? Watch. I get impatient. I know. Sarah did too. And look how that turned out. Can I ask you a question? Is there something in your life that God is wanting you to do and you're resisting and struggling against? Is there something somewhere that God is directing you to do or to go or to be and you're not? And you may alter the course by helping God, by doing something else, and then justifying and saying, Lord, I know you're in this. And God's like, I am not. You say that I am. I've told you already what we want, what's going to happen. And you're trying to manipulate and you're trying to circumvent, just like Sarah did. The best thing to do, folks, listen. By faith, Sarah, she believed and received strength in herself to conceive, to deliver, because she judged him faithful. There are times when the will of God and the way of God isn't always comfortable, it isn't always convenient, but it's always right. And it's always best. You're in school, you think that maybe the best way in which I can write this paper is to use AI. No. Most best way to do it is study and do your research. Yeah, but that takes so much work. No, by faith. By getting this job. You know, if I step over this person, maybe I'll get to the next level so that I can get to the next promotion. No. Why don't you be patient and wait and be honest and accept God's working and do it His will, His way, for His glory. I pray that we believe God at His word instead of injecting ourselves into His plan. How many times I have to ask myself, Troutman, how many times do you let God have His way without you running interference? Because, you know, in our human condition, we really want what we want. We really like what we like. God says, Troutman, you better like what I like more than what you want. And you better want what I want more than what you like. Because remember something. I'm the Lord, and you're the servant. I'm the master. I'm the creator. Yes, Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. The last thing that we find when you're looking here, verse number 12. Therefore sprang forth there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and a multitude in the sand, which is by the sea innumerable. Some think to say, well, the one who is good as dead, that's Isaac. No, not necessarily. It's Abraham. He was beyond bearing, and so was Sarah. And so what you find is this Isaac is given a name. You know what Isaac means? Laughter. Every time Sarah would call this little boy's name, it would be a reminder. Yeah, that's what it was, but boy, I am so grateful what God has done. You know, sometimes God gives us reminders. Past, for the future. I bear a few scars from days when I lived in rejection of God's authority and embracing worldly activity. And every time I see one of them, two things can happen. One, oh, I was so wretched, I was so bad. Or, thank you, Lord, for sparing my life. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sin. Thank you, Lord, for being the master of my life. Stars and sand describe the growing number of descendants who would be the great nation God had promised. How many times do you see that phrase in the book of Genesis given to Abraham? Stars in the sky, the sands of the sea, you can't even number them. God is faithful to his word. By the way, do you realize that here in this situation, with Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, the fulfillment of promises, you and I are benefited by it. Aren't you grateful and thankful that God keeps his promises and the rippling effect has reached all the way down to you and me? Why? She judged God to be faithful as he promised. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, do we praise you, thank you, and give you honor and glory because you are the great God of heaven. You are the glorious God of all creation. And you are the grand God who has everything totally under control. And you are the God we can trust. And you are the God with whom we can have faith and belief. And Lord, as we move from this time and as we move from here, I pray that we would be like Sarah, where we would be transformed from faithless to be full of the faith, from doubting to believing, from laughing to rejoicing. And Father, I pray that every single one of us would truly believe and live in faith, not by sight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. May I ask you a question? As you sit here this morning and you hear the word of God being preached, the Holy Spirit of God working in your heart, maybe you need to be like Sarah, who goes from doubt to belief, from fear to faith, to self walking by sight, to God walking by faith. May I pray for you? Just lift up your hand. I'll acknowledge that, acknowledge you in prayer, saying, Pastor, pray for me. I need to, like Sarah, live by faith, judging him faithful who will do what he said. Yes, yes, yes. I see those hands. Now, maybe you're here in the area you need to evidence faith. First and foremost is in trusting Jesus Christ with your heart, with your soul, with your eternal destination. Maybe you've never received Jesus to be your Savior, to deliver you from sin's condemnation, to deliver you from the wrath to come in hell. May I pray for you? Don't pretend like you have it if you don't. Don't hope that you have it if you don't. But know that you have it. I want to pray for you if you're not sure. Just lift your hand up, put it right back down. Pastor, that's me. I don't have confident assurance. I'm saved. I need to know for sure. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Pray for me. Father, throughout this whole auditorium, we thank you for your presence with us this entire time. We thank you for your presence with us as we go from this place. We thank you that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to dividing asunder soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And we know, Lord, there's nothing that is hidden in your sight, but all things are made manifest. So as you make manifest what's in our hearts, Lord, I pray that we'd respond in a faith. And these who've lifted their hands and asking for prayer in regard to certain areas or struggles or disbelief or doubt, Lord, I pray that you would help them, like Sarah, to judge you faithfully, who will keep his promises. Bless them, help them, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording,
Let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.